Hey guys, come on in, sit down. This is the Music, Pizza, and Podcast. I am your host, Jay Putty. I know I've been MIA for the last week on the podcast, but I ended up breaking my foot, and it sucked. It pushed my album back a little bit. Not really the album, just the first single, but Crazy For You is just going to be pushed back a week. I'm super excited about it. I really love this song. I really love the new music I'm about to put out. I'm super proud of it. I will be playing IU Southeast April 16th. So if you're in the Louisville area and want to come party, come hang out. April 17th, I will be in Indianapolis playing with pop rock band The Downtown Fiction. And of course, my friends in We Are Forever. It is always a wonderful, wonderful time seeing them. Not a whole lot to talk about this week. You know, just, of course, album's going to be dropping soon. New merch. New album. I got to sit down with my oldest brother, Rhyme Taylor, today and talk music, talk real stuff. Like, we got real into real talk here. We got to talk about hip-hop as a genre. We got a little political on it, but it was really nice because it was just a discussion. Like, this is what it, to me, this is what it's all about. All my other podcasts have been really, really hype, and it's like all funny and all games, but, you know, we flipped the coin this time, and we just really sat down, and we just had a conversation about music and life, and it was nice. Definitely want to do more interviews like this. It was cerebral, it was intellectual, it was articulate. But before we get started, this is a listener-supported and fan-supported podcast, supported by people just like you. I give it to you free every single Monday. SoundCloud, Podomatic, iTunes. We are finally on iTunes. Just search Jay Putty. It is finally on iTunes. It's free. But if you want to support monetarily, iTunes, just pick up a song, pick up the record. Go to my online merch store, jputtymusic.bigcartel.com. Pick up a shirt, sunglasses, a poster. Stickers, buttons, whatever. Rate, review, subscribe. Those help our numbers. Just tell a friend, really. My social media is all at Jay Putty Music for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all that. Even if you just tell friends about that, that helps so much. But let's get into the song of the week. Song week this week is by Indiana rapper and songwriter Plenty Rhymes with his single Can't Complain. You can check him out at soundcloud.com/DelrayTB and twitter.com/812_Plenty.
Yeah, uh-huh. Question me why I didn't hit her right back. Suspecting with another girl, but they ain't like that. Can I go without her? I doubt it. Tried it before, already know about it. I ain't like it. I ain't feeling hurt, she got somebody else. And I call feelings. You and I together forever. Stimulate my mind, love when you talk clever.
Baby boy, hope I don't let you in trash. Promise me that our love's never ending. You make me wanna sing. Love it, can't complain. Baby boy, hope I don't let you in trash. Promise me that our love's never ending. You make me wanna sing. Love it, can't complain.
Now let me see you dance, you wanna drop that. Let me see if you can trick it in a club dress. Now let me see you dance, you wanna drop that. Let me see if you can trick it in a club dress.
Baby boy, hope I don't let you in trash. Promise me that our love's never ending. You make me wanna sing. Love it, can't complain.
Come and put that $1 million smile on your face. Wake up, no makeup. Hope we don't break up. Out late, we ain't got a curfew. Heels one much, so I got the purse too. They ain't tricking us, she been out for a minute. No boundaries, lower down limits. Vacation, we gon' go where it's sunny. Pineapples grow, you already know.
Baby boy, hope I don't let you in twice. Promise me that our love's never ending. You make me wanna sing. Love it, can't complain. Baby boy, hope I don't let you in twice. Promise me that our love's never ending. You make me wanna sing. Love it, can't complain.
Now let me see you dancing while I drop that. Let me see if you can trick it in a club dress. Now let me see you dancing while I drop that. Let me see if you can trick it in a club dress.
So, tell them who you are.
Oh, well, to the ladies listening, my name is G-Eazy. No, I'm kidding.
No, to the ladies listening, I am Mr. Wright. I heard you were looking for me.
Well, you know, it is Easter, so here I am. People just seem to pop up out of nowhere on Easter. I'm a little sacrilegious, but it's kind of how I roll.
A little offensive. That's how you roll.
Yeah, if you pay any attention to my lyrics, that's what they are peppered with, I guess.
What, offense?
Offense, yes, and blasphemy.
But, okay, who are you?
Hey, my name is Ryan Taylor.
What do you do?
I am a rapper. I also DJ, but I'm a rapper.
You're a rapper?
I'm a rapper.
DJ White Wonderman.
They call me DJ Wonderbread. Yeah. Do you know they do not call me DJ Wonderbread, actually?
You remind me of a rabbit from Scary Movie 3.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
DJ Festus.
Physically, I probably embody every white rapper stereotype that you could ever possibly imagine. Like, high school, I dressed like you would expect a white rapper to dress. I mean, it was that bad, even though, like, all my clothes were fresh to death. I worked at a shoe store. Shout out Finish Line. Don't hate me. But, yeah, so... But, I mean, lyrically, I kind of transcend that stigma of being a white rapper. Because, I mean, I take what I do very seriously as far as constructing the words to get... Putting the words together. You know? Because I couldn't sit here, like... I'm not a player. Like, I'm not a pimp. I'm not the coolest dude in the room, so, I mean, if I was going to sit here and rap about stuff like that, like, no one's going to take me serious, like, even if it was, like, a character or something that I created. So, like, for me, I just try to be as, like, introspective as possible. I try to be as creative as possible, and, yeah, I just try to say things that are tough for people to say, but, you know, that people also need to hear them, too, at the same time.
Why do you feel like they need to hear it, though?
Because I feel like we live in a society where so many things are oppressed, like so many ideas and emotions and thoughts. You know, you're meant to feel uncomfortable and vulnerable for having and feeling these things and thinking them. And, you know, people, you get condemned if those things surface. So, you know, I kind of wanted to use that as an outlet to be like, you know what? You know, I think we all go through a lot of the same things, but, you know, so many times... where we don't want to face that ourselves, or we just have trouble saying it, you know? So whenever someone else says what we're thinking, you know, something that's hard for us to articulate, like, I think that's comforting. Like, I think that's why Kid Cudi at one point was super popular, is because he was doing something that was cool, like, universally looked at as cool, like being a rapper. But he was also speaking about being depressed, and, you know, I think he was the first one to be cool with it. Like, Kanye did the 808s and Heartbreak, and that was around the same time that Kid Cudi started coming out. And I think that was kind of what catapulted the emotional trends in music, in rap in particular.
I would have to agree, because it became so... arbitrarily aggressive, really, if you think about it. All rap was just like, they're so mad about, like, stuff that they really shouldn't have been angry about, or just, it became just so monotonous with just contrived, very illegitimate things, and they took away what, I mean, when rap started, it pretty much was like, they were in the streets and they were rapping about the realest shit you possibly could, like, you know, the problems in the ghettos and, like, civil rights. And it went from people like, you know, Grandmaster Flash and, like, NWA and, like, Tupac rapping about real shit to I have money, fuck bitches, pussy money, weed. And it just became so contrived. And I mean, I pretty much agree with you 100%, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, rap at its core, it's a social platform to be able to voice your opinion and to just be heard. You know, it started off as something that people, cultures did. Nobody can sit here and pinpoint where rap came from. Like, there's a lot of, you know, it come from the Caribbean, or it come from, you know, it come from New York, or it come from this or this, you know. Music is such a melting pot in general, and I think especially now, like, we're really seeing the genre bending and a true melting pot of sounds, just like we're seeing in this continuing globally networked world.
I just think it's better now that there's more white rappers and other colored rappers like coming through, because man, like, it really got to the point where, like, it was only allowed to be a black rapper. And, you know, I believe that music eliminates all, you know, skin color, religion, ethnic backgrounds, like poverty level or something like that. When you listen to music, it literally just kind of erases any kind of difference that we have, because we're all hearing the same thing. We're all experiencing it differently, but we're all hearing the same thing and realizing that we as people, we all bleed the same color.
Right. It brings you like music in general, like, it brings you to that person's level.
Yeah.
It gives you a glimpse into what they're thinking. And I think that's why Kendrick's so popular right now. Kendrick's great.
Like, To Pimp a Butterfly, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean,
Kendrick's
awesome, because, like, it's not like he wouldn't get the notoriety he did if he wasn't so talented. But what elevates him is his social position, his position in the community, like,
kind of like J. Cole.
Exactly like J. Cole. Exactly like J.
And
Cole.
That's why it's, I feel like
Kendrick is more. Not mainstream. That's not what I'm looking for. He's more appealing.
I was gonna say more universal.
Yeah, he's more appealing to
that. And see, that's what bothers the fuck out of me with Azalea Banks. She literally is just saying only black people are allowed to rap.
She hates the world, man. I like Azalea Banks. Honestly, I did. Whenever I first heard her, like 212, when I heard that song, I was like, oh,
yeah,
wow,
like
this.
I,
this is a badass bitch right here.
I felt like she put. Like, I think thanks to her, like, I don't think Iggy Azalea was doing herself any favors, really, but Azalea Banks went on a crusade against her.
Yeah, she, yeah, those are two. If I was Azalea Banks, though, I would definitely, I understand the animosity. I wouldn't like Iggy Azalea if I was Azalea Banks, because she pretty much represents, like, everything that makes it so hard for Azalea Banks to get seen, like. And Iggy Azalea, she does have it easier, because there are so many different gimmicks behind her. Like, I mean, I'm really bothered by people that are like, oh, you know, he's a spitter. Or, like, you know, because they sound cool when they say it. And it's like, you know, there's only so cool that a country or an Australian white girl from, I mean, she's not from the streets. Like, she came to California when she was like 16, so I mean, probably, you know, did what she had to do to get her way up, and I promise you that it wasn't her musical talent that brought her to this level. So, like, Azalea Banks, someone that is talented, she sees someone that is privileged getting the big breaks that she feels like she's missing out on.
But it's kind of like everyone rides tides for a different reason. Like, people like J. Cole, for example, you know, he steadily, like, his first album was really good. Second album dropped off a little bit, but was still really good. This third one, he's making waves and doing things, and it's a lot more substantial, because, I mean, example, Iggy Azalea, she's not really selling albums. Yeah, she's selling singles, but she's not selling albums.
Right, you're right.
And J. Cole is selling albums. He's becoming a cultural phenomenon. I would rather wait it out and, you know, blow up when I'm supposed to blow up, rather than jump the gun and be like, oh, well, I'll just settle for, like, one hit single. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
I just think it came from, like, jealousy on Azalea Banks's part.
Oh, super jealousy.
But I mean,
I get it though.
I mean, I completely get it.
I'd be mad.
I completely get it. It frustrates me sometimes, but it's like, if I just keep grinding and doing what I'm supposed to, I will earn my path eventually.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why J. Cole is where you're at. And Kendrick's a good example. And, like, I'm going to use this. Like Kendrick and J. Cole, they both came out around the same time. They've been kind of inextricably linked ever since, you know, they started getting their buzz. And, you know, as soon as artists like that, they start getting the title of being, you know, different or like saviors almost of what they do, you know, you're placed in a box and you're given all these expectations, and you know, everyone wants everything. You know, they want the bangers and the singles, and then they want you to be introspective, and they want it all at the same time. And it's, you know, J. Cole and Kendrick, they're gonna put out a first album, you know, after their mixtape buzz. And it's gonna be great. It's gonna be lauded, critically acclaimed, and everything. The next project that they do, they can't win on that. Like Kendrick's new CD is awesome, but Kendrick's been getting a lot of flack for it because it's not, you know, it's not this or it's not that or it's not this, and it's like, but people don't understand the evolution of it, and you know, they just.
But that's it. That's how music critics are gonna be. Period. Because you're comparing it to the last release that, you know, may have been a crowd favorite. Like, that's why a lot of, like, bands in general, I know a lot of bands, like, for example, a band called Forever Sick as Kids, fantastic first album. Literally, they went from nothing to something with their first album, like, signed to Universal, and was, like, just everywhere, Nerf commercials, all that. Their second album didn't do that well because you had such a strong first album. But, I mean, it happens, and so, like, I feel like with how there's so much music that you're going to get those rappers that, you know, you just want to listen to the bangers. Just, like, they release just, you know, party singles. Jeremiah, Don't Tell Him. I think he's, you know, not that good, but I like that song. And I would listen to that song to have a good time. But if I was wanting to really listen to an album, like, on a car ride, I would listen to J. Cole's front to back, because it's like, that's gonna tell a story that is gonna take me somewhere else. Exactly. And is gonna kind of eliminate the problem of the
it's gonna
drive.
Right, it's gonna transport you into the world that he created, you know. And like people like Kendrick and J. Cole, and I mean, I'm even gonna use Jay-Z as an example. I'm not the biggest Jay-Z fan in the world, but you know, these guys, they understand, like, especially Jay-Z, they understand how the market works and how the market responds to things. So, like, I mean, me as a rapper and writer, like, that's where my strength is. So, like, that's where I dedicate most of my time. I could sit here and write the most arcane and, you know, coded lyrics that would be so intelligent if you sit here and break it down and, you know, go through the allegories and go through the wordplay and go through the connections and everything. It's like, but, you know, there's being a musician and then there's being involved in the music business. And if you want to be involved in the music business, you have to understand how the audience and the markets receive different things. So, you know, if you want to sit here and write rhymes that are, you know, like trying to decipher the Da Vinci Code, like Lupe Fiasco, really, I mean, or more like Aesop Rock, probably a better example. Like, I mean, you can do that and you can find your niche audience, but don't be mad whenever, you know, Drake is over here outselling you because he's more appealing to on a mass level. And it is sad. It is. But
it's sad and it's not. But
it gets too pretentious at some points, too.
It's sad and it's not, but you have to really think about, like, music is a form of what?
Expression.
Entertainment.
And entertainment.
And sometimes, you know, like with food or something like that, or movies. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you want to watch, like, an action movie. Sometimes when you go out to eat, you don't want to eat something, like, super filling or just, you know, full course meal or something like that. Sometimes you just want that candy.
I think that's a really good way to say that.
Or sometimes you just want, sometimes I'll just really crave, you know, Taco Bell, where I'm just like, I know it's really bad for me. I know I probably shouldn't put it in my body. But it sounds good. And you know what? I'm gonna eat it because it sounds good to me, and that really there shouldn't be any more like defense of the genre or music besides that. Like what you like, even if it isn't like the most deep. Like, if you like Friday by Rebecca Blackner, it's like, you know, it makes me excited for the weekend. Why is that wrong? Why?
You know what? I think that's incredibly well put. I really do. That's probably the best I've ever heard that articulated. So, I mean, I think that's a perception change on my end. But at the same time, like, rap more so, I think, than, like, pop music. Like Rebecca Black, like, she's harmless. Like, she's fun, you know? You get into, like, rap and hip-hop, like, at the end of the day, what we listen to is going to influence our thoughts, like, subconsciously. So, like, especially rappers, you know, I hold a lot of them to a high standard as far as, you know, what they say, because they have a platform unlike most artists, because rap usually comes from the community uplifts you as a rapper. Like, you can sit here and you can produce all your music in your room, and, you know, you can be a talented musician and someone can discover you that way. But, like, if you're a rapper, like, you have to, the community has to be the one to uplift you to a status.
That's because that goes back to the origins. That's where it came from.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I mean, that's part of it. So, like, whenever you do, you have that platform and you have an attentive audience like that, you know, you really have to be smart and take your role seriously and understand, like, you know, athletes get mad all the time because they're not role models, because, you know, there's like, they're not role models. And I understand that a whole lot more than I do musicians, because they're over here, they're pursuing, like, they're pursuing your love and affection as an artist. You're doing that. So, you know, when I see someone like 2 Chainz, who has a 4.0, went to college and everything else, and there isn't anything that he raps about that would give me that indication, you know, he's contradicting the message, you know, that he could be giving. You know, 4.0, you get out of the hood like that, like, you can still say some cool shit and, you know, and still be credible and thoughtful at the same time. So, you know, rather than sitting here talking about how you used to deal drugs and everything and, you know, how you're still a gangster, like...
You mean you could have a balanced diet?
You can have a balanced diet, exactly. Like, I mean, everyone knows that J. Cole went to college, and, you know, it doesn't mean, like, shove it down everyone's faces, but, like, you know, don't... The pimp mentality that, you know, a lot of the rappers will sit here and the facade, and they'll sit here and parade around. It's like, you know, you have a real opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah, you know? it's like these rappers will be like, man, I came from the hood and I'm doing it for the hood, and like, I'm doing my rap career for the hood. And then it's like, well, are you giving back to your community? No, I just bought gold rims for my Hummer. Well, you know, like, your community got you there. You can, you know, kind of give it back.
Right.
But I'm gonna flip the conversation right now. I'm gonna flip the conversation. I wanna get on your origins now.
Okay.
Like, when did it really start becoming real to you that you might want to pursue rap?
Oh my goodness, that's like that's a great question. I'm still kind of like, I'm still coming to grips with it, honestly. Like, it's...
But wait, like, when did it start that you were like,
I'm gonna sit here and like dedicate my life to this and like really go after it? Or when was I like, you know, I think I'm like good, I think I'm gonna like try to take it more seriously?
No, when was like the time you were just like, you were listening to a song and you were just kind of like, I kind of want to do it, I kind of want to...
Okay, yeah, I know.
Like,
exactly.
I'm saying origin stories. Yeah, like, yeah. We're going like Batman Begins over here.
Right. I just wanted to. There was a couple of ways that question could have gone, so I wanted to make sure we were on the same page with that.
Yeah, because this way it's going to lead into our first music break.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we had a pretty good opening like conversation here, like about music, about rap, about where it comes from, mm-hmm. And now we know where the music is now and where it kind of came from for rap, I want to hear about where the music came from for you and where you want to go now.
Okay. Well, this is, I guess the image that really like sticks in my mind is, I remember first semester of college, and I started college late. I was sitting in the hallway like doing some work, and I just like was put on to Asher Roth.
So you love college.
I love college. I love college, baby. I love college, and I love Asher Roth. And I was just, I mean, just a pretty basic fan. Like, I've always been really into music as far as, like, pursuing new music. That's what I've been into my whole life, is new music. I'm not, like, necessarily a connoisseur.
G Unit.
I mean, I'm just, you know what I mean? Like, if you want a G Unit fan, I don't believe you've ever listened to rap and you're my age, so. But, yeah.
You're the type of person who thinks Hurricane Chris is a good rapper.
Funny story about Hurricane Chris, too. I got Hurricane Chris, Gorilla Zoe, and Lazy Bone from Bone Thugs. I've actually hung out with them on a circular level, you know. We passed some stories to the left, if you know what I mean.
No, don't worry. This is a... You can talk about that stuff here.
Well, I mean, I don't want... We got high. I got high with...
I mean, we've on other podcasts, we've talked about other drugs and various things.
I've gotten high with a few celebrities, actually. Gorilla Zoe, Crazy Bone, no, Lazy Bone, Hurricane Chris, Pat White and Steve Slayton from West Virginia, from their Dynasty football teams. Yeah, that was on PCB. That was interesting.
As long as it wasn't on PCP.
Yeah, man, I've read some things about PCP. That does not interest me in the slightest. Dude, but, like, last story I read about that dude, like, cut off his genitals. Like, started calling himself a god.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I answered your question
earlier. No, not yet.
I did not answer your question earlier. So I was sitting in there, I was in the hallway studying, and I was listening to music, and I was just kind of like researching, like, who is this dude, you know? And I read that, you know, Asher's got discovered rapping in his dorm room, and like my imagination took it, like I got the image of like this dude just rapping, like freestyling with his door open in one of the dormitories, and someone important walking by and being like, oh, that's dope, like, let me come here. Like, obviously that's not how it went, but like that's the image I got. And I just kind of was like, you know, I bet I could do this. And, like, my friends and I had already, like, kind of, you know, just to kill time, been, like, rapping. And it was funny. The first verse that I actually wrote, that I was like, I'm going to sit down and write a verse, was we took Lil Wayne's No Ceilings, which was, like, the mixtape of, it's probably the greatest mixtape of all time, like, talk about mixtapes in rap, the most popular mixtape for sure.
What, like Lil Wayne's
No Ceilings. Like, we were banging that, and that's the stuff I used to listen to. Like,
dude, sleep on Lil Wayne all you want, but he was definitely a pioneer for like publicizing and bringing rap to a real mainstream.
Lil Wayne did. I mean, he's definitely responsible for bringing rap to the mainstream it is right now.
Oh yeah, because honestly, before Run DMC did the collab with Aerosmith, honestly, hip hop was on its last legs. Like, in the cultural world, it really was going to be a dying genre. But that brought it back to the mainstream. But if it wasn't for Lil Wayne, it would not be where it's at now.
Yeah. So we literally took the lyrics from Lil Wayne from No Ceilings, like the different beats that we liked. We would print it out and go syllable for syllable, like, oh, you know, it's like, he's going to say this, so we're going to say something else, but we're going to say it just like he did. So I just kind of, like, practiced, like, with a stencil, almost. And, you know, the first one that we wrote, the first couple that we wrote were, like, I was just like, oh, these are pretty clever, you know? And I've always been into writing to some degree, so it was kind of like, why not? Like, I don't really want to get a real job. Like, I'm better off just...
I don't think anyone wants to get a real job. I think people go to college because they want to find a way to be their own boss.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the way I looked at it. Like, I didn't... Like, so many of my friends, like, they went to college so they could get a degree and so that someone else could get them a job. And, you know, most of them aren't very happy or they're not pursuing what they want to be pursuing. And to me, that's just a waste. Like, I would rather struggle doing what I'm trying to do for myself than to be comfortable and not happy. Like... So, like, I kind of used college to literally buy myself time as I grew as an artist and, yeah, to avoid the quote-unquote real world.
The real world kind of sucks, but you can make your own real world, honestly.
Right, I don't believe in that, and that's why I created, I mean, didn't create it, but, I mean, started living by the Charmed Life mantra, and that is, You know, you create your own destiny. It's predicated on acknowledging your good fortune and then creating your own good fortune. And, you know, the more you acknowledge and the more you create, the more you'll have. It's pretty basic, but, you know, I think people forget sometimes how much control they do have. Because there's so much that we don't have control over, but at the same time, there's so much more that we do have control over. And yeah. I just kind of want to be an example to prove to people that, you know, it doesn't matter where you start. You know, it just matters how you finish.
That's pretty real. But let's go to our... Let's go to our first music break real fast.
Does that mean I can get a beer?
Huh?
Does that mean I can get another beer?
Yeah, you can go grab one real fast, because what I can do is I can just... Because, I mean, we're pretty good on time right now. But before you go, first music break, I want you to give me two songs from... it can be from, like, high school or something like that, that just kind of really inspired you to, like, really rap. I feel like one of them I'm going to... go over your head and just put Asher Roth, I Love College.
That song didn't inspire me to rap so much as it was like the first song I heard, and I was just like, this song is awesome. Like, I genuinely loved that song. For no other reason than it made me happy. It was fun, and it was like, oh, this dude's cool. This dude's cool as shit.
So hit me with two songs that really inspired you.
Two songs that inspired me. One of them is an Asher Roth song, and it is The Sun God. It is from his mixtape, The Greenhouse Effect, the first one, before I Love College ever came out, actually. And it was produced by DJ High Tech, who's actually part of Die Antwoord, and was part of Black Star with Mos Def and Talib Kweli. And he produced The Sun God for Common. And that's Common's original song. So, I mean, if you're familiar with mixtapes, you know that it's very prominent rap and basically use other people's beats to spit your own stuff.
Yeah.
And I heard that, and I was just like, wow, that is, like, the realest stuff I've ever heard. There was no hook on it or anything. It was just bars of intellect. And I was like, wow, that's dope.
That's all it takes, man. You just need a little spark. I feel like we're all matches. And sometimes you just need that spark, or sometimes you just need someone else to light your own match to really.
Right, exactly. It doesn't matter how the fire starts, as long as you acknowledge it.
Yeah. So, okay, so we're gonna do The Sun God by Asher Roth, and what else?
Sun God and Asher Roth, the song that inspired me to rap. How about the first rap that I wrote and thought it was dope was to the beats of Mario's The Breakup. And it was Lil Wayne actually did it. It was from the No Ceilings mixtape that I was talking about earlier.
What's it called?
It was called The Breakup.
The Breakup? Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne. And the Mario is the same one. And it was like, oh man, what was it? How'd the lines go? It's like I walk into the Legion, got ladies on my weenus. See him later, bet those bitches on my penis. So it's like walk into the party with girls on my arm. We thought it was clever. Obviously, like, that's not the stuff I'm trying to rap about now. But like, that was our idea of rap, though. And like, you know, that's a lot of other people's idea of rap too, because that's what they're
pussy money weed.
Yeah, and because that's what they're inundated with. So like, I take a lot of responsibility in, you know, making sure that mine has some substance in it. You know, and it's fun at the same time.
Yeah, but don't be afraid to like I said, you can eat. You can eat healthy all you want in your life. It's still going to kill you, so why not have a candy bar?
I've definitely grown as far as that. I went through a period where I was such a music snob and such a rap snob that it wasn't enjoyable. And that's not a place to be. Like you can't hate on everything. Like, I can sit here, I can see both sides of everything now. And
sometimes you just got to take music for what it is, and it's music. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, that's something that I learned to do, and not to be so arrogant and be, you know, just try to be so pretentious with it, because you can get, you know, you get labeled as a conscious rapper or someone who's intellectual. It's really easy to come off as pretentious.
Yeah.
You know.
So we're going to go. First music break is going to be Asher Roth, The Sun God, Lil Wayne, The Breakup.
Oh, man. Let's go.
Cannon. The cannon. That was my villain laugh. My villain laugh.
Cannon.
The cannon. Yeah, I don't have it figured out yet. Matter of fact, I just figured out my outfit. Don't doubt that. Got a clue what I'm doing, but I'm sure not a shoo-in. I could ruin it by being untrue to it. Untrue to me, excuse my truancy. While sex sells and I excel in nudity, the influence of jewelry ain't cool to me. Search the globe for something that's more new to me. But buffoonery is usually my duty. See, the fool in me is rooted deep and has me acting foolishly. But the fruit in me is sweeter than the ghoul in me. So only stupid me ruin this here opportunity. So tune in and listen to my fluency. The way I do it, you would think that there was two of me. More like ten of me. I have a tendency as Edison invented with a pen and a sentence. That's what I'm talking about, boy. That's what I'm talking about, boy. And you know, I'm getting filthier like each week I've been down here. Every verse has been a little bit more lethal. Not to mention my quick comprehension that led to success and tremendous progression. Self-expression is all that I know. My direction is all on my own. I direct it, produce and edit. So no excuse if I lose, can't regret it. But I won't let it get to ever being incorrect. My skills are set to represent for those who feel they haven't been.
No ceilings, motherfucker.
On the guinea, you should wanna king me. Brain dead flow, vegetable zucchini. I live on the beach, she walk around in her bikini. Girls are like school and I cut them like seniors. I'm here to distinguish the bears from the penguins. Life is just a gap, get some money in between it. Glocks like police, pumps like Venus. This beat getting total, Pam Keisha Kimas. Sitting on the world, thinking about a girl. Pistol on my side, paint you like a mural. Dig in my pocket, pulled out the party. Be cool before you get stumped and pulled out the party. Holly cool shit, I'm on my holly cool shit. Looking for a bad bitch, I give a dinosaur dick. Big bad flu, is it? Fuck the police. Church like a choir and a couple of old priests. Elevator in my crib, cause it's 5 floors. I'm not expecting you to have one inside yours. Vince Young, suicide doors. Life's a bitch, not die for her.
I have the type of flow, niggas don't have to like. My rhyme's ambidextrous, so I don't have to write. The way I'm eating, niggas wish they had my appetite. Straight up out of Texas, and I'm major like Applewhite. I pull forward, then I hit the exit door. About to take a trip to Macy's, cop the whole second floor. Give me that horse, smell of send the money coming out my pores. Yeah, my pockets full of dead people like a morgue, boy. I made it from a flyer to the floor. See me? Young Elvis freshly, yes, he flyer than the store. Damn. Dropping babies off in your chick's cheek. Kicks knees, got your son looking up to me like I'm 6 feet. Your daughter needs someone to save her, not me. Nah. I'm knocking hoes down like Layla. Ooh. I leave, try heat, and I'ma put the toaster to your kidney. Uh-huh. Then I pull off in the Bentley, top open like a chimney. Yeah, it's no ceilings like a coliseum. No candy slab, paint dripping like gonorrhea. The way I'm leaning, I'm annoyed if I stand still. Flow harder than the Anvil. Short.
We're sitting here still with Rhyme Taylor. Man, we went his origin, we went rap and all that. So we're gonna talk about you now, more about you.
I love me. I love me like Kanye loves Kanye.
No, you don't. Kanye loves Kanye so much.
I do love Kanye though, but we could go on all day producing Bieber's new album. Don't even get me started.
No, let's get you started.
Don't get.
No, we can get you started. We're here to talk about music.
Oh man, dude, I'm stoked. I could not be more excited.
It's gonna be really good. Like, I really think it's gonna be good. Like, I don't listen to Kanye's music just because I think he's such a pretentious, overzealous asshole that I do not want to patronize him or, you know, pretty much push him any more forward than he already is.
The character of the artist doesn't deter from the artistry, though.
No, his music is incredible. I love his music. I just...
Yeah, he's gonna... Bieber, this new album, it's gonna be... There's gonna be 15 songs on it, and 10 of them are gonna be singles, and they're all gonna be top 10 records. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Kanye, I can see Kanye working on this album harder and more meticulously than he works on his own albums, because I think he acknowledges and realizes the star power of Justin Bieber and what he can do to do that.
And what I think is, I think Bieber really is, I think this is going to be a huge comeback year for Bieber.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God. Like,
I never stopped believing.
I really didn't either, honestly. Like, he pissed me off for a little bit because the antics he was doing, but when you take a step back and you take away the fact that he's a star, you think about it, and it's just like, that's stuff that teenagers do.
Right. Like...
Like, he grew up for like 6 years being told... You're the best. You can't lose. And he was never told no. So, yeah, so he got a little out of hand. That doesn't mean that, you know, he's like, not going to kill
like,
it.
The worst thing the dude has done was egg houses. Like, sorry, he caused $20,000 worth of damage to a $3.5 million Malibu home. Boo frickin' who. Like, meh.
I mean, he did drive intoxicated and under influence of drugs. He did.
I mean, it happens. I mean, it's not something I'm going to condone and say that's a good thing. But, I mean, I don't think that...
You can't.
Yeah, you're not going to sit at a dinner table with anyone that hasn't done that. Like... Not in our industry, at least. Not what we're doing.
No.
Like, I mean, even our parents who are stand-up people, like, I can promise you that my dad has driven too drunk before. I can promise you that if he would have gotten pulled over, he would have got a DUI. Like, Bieber got caught drag racing going 35 miles an hour. Like, if that's not media sensationalized, I mean, I don't know what it is.
It happens. But I think it's going to be a good comeback here for him. I really do think the roast was a good thing for him, because you really got to take shots at it. Like, they really took shots at him. And, like, some hardcore shots at him, too.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that Martha Stewart porno. I'm going to be first in line to torrent that. Segway.
You suck. You suck. But tell me, what have you done lately? Like music. Like, what have you been up to?
What have I done lately?
Like, I know. I at least have. I've heard like songs here and there. Like, is a mixtape forming? Can we expect a mixtape?
Mixtape is definitely in the works. The plan was to have it done by summer. And that's still the plan. Been working on it for probably since August, September on it. And just recently, I got hooked up with world-class DJ, DJ Breeze Easy. And you've met him. Dude's...
Evan is.
Dude's awesome. Part of the duo Sinstrumentals. You can check them on YouTube. You know, they...
Evan is the reason why good steaks, you don't need steak sauce.
Yeah, Evan's the Wagyu steak. He's the Kobe beef of DJs. So yeah, I'm incredibly fortunate to be linked up with him, and we connected randomly and just hit it off. So right now we are working on a genre bending sound that is heavy EDM, heavy bass, heavy lyrics. But we're also, what we're gonna do is we're gonna create massive content. But DJs I guess in their origins, you know, a lot of them, you know, they create mixes. That's what they do. They create mixes. That's what a DJ does. And we're going to create these mixes, you know, 20, 30 minute hour long mixes. And I'm going to be rapping in and out of them. And he's going to be DJing, you know, showing his thing off and throwing down some crazy drops and some sounds and some instruments that you never see. So, like, it's going to be 30, 40 minutes of music, which is going to be, like, the duration of an entire mixtape. But it's not going to be so heavily inundated with, you know, just rapping. It's not going to be a rap album. I'm going to say that. It's not going to be a rap album. There's going to be rapping, but it's not going to be a rap album.
It's just going to be an album.
Yeah.
Or it's just going to be like a song.
Yeah, it's going to be like a 30-minute long song where the sounds change and the lyrics are consistent, but, you know, even the elocution changes. So I'm really excited about to do that, to get involved with those projects. But the mixtape is called The Fate Charmer. That is what the official mixtape is going to be called.
Do you have, like, I know you said summer, but do you have, like, a tentative release date?
Tentative release date? I do not. I could give you one right now, but
it would probably change.
Yeah, it would probably change more than the Detox release date.
Talk to me about some of your accolades. Like, what? Like, I know we're talking about what you're going to do in the future. We're going to come back to that too, because I want to come full circle. But I want to, like, how long have you been rapping? How long has Ryan Taylor been out? What have you done? Like, just for people who may not know who you are, tell us about, like, what you've been doing, what you've done.
Well, what I've been doing, I guess, I can't say that I have too many accolades. Like, I've been fortunate enough to be around some really talented people, and, you know, that have afforded me some incredible opportunities. Like, I believe you guys heard of Jay Putty, the guy sitting next to me. We've done some cool things. We opened up for Aaron Carter.
It was good.
So we did do that. And but right now what I've been doing is working on, is basically just kind of solidifying the business side of things and really generating a plan on, you know, how I want to market the music and how I want to disseminate it and, you know, what I really want my image to be and what I want to represent and, you know, go out and be that example.
What do you feel like you represent right now?
I feel like I represent freedom. freedom of speech, freedom of thought. My goal through music is to inspire as many people as I can to do what they love and to really follow their dreams, you know, despite, you know, everything, despite the social constructs, despite the negative cynicism, the peer pressure, you know, because I really do believe that you can do anything, you know, if you can block out those distractions.
Since you said you represent like that, I'm going to have a question for you.
Let's go.
How do you feel about the people that say, you know, be open-minded, but then on the flip side, let's say you have someone that's like, steak is the best food in the world, and you say, and someone comes to them and says, oh, well, I don't think steak is the best food in the world, and they go, open your mind, steak is the best food in the world. Like, the people that are saying kind of like, you know, open your mind, stop, like, learn to think about other people's sides, but then when they're brought with another side, they kind of close it out and just say, no. Like, there was a philosopher that said, it's hard to, when you think the same way for so long, it's hard to shake that core value, even though it does open up another way of thinking.
Well, I have a couple ways to approach that. For one, there's no such thing as the best. Like, there's no such thing as the best. And, like, especially in rap, you know, you definitely, that's the topic that you hear more than anything is, you know, who's the best? Who's the best now? Who's the best then? Like, I think that's just a bunch of BS. Like, that's just a bunch of people speaking. You can't say anything's the best because it's all a matter. That's an opinion statement.
Because it's perspective. It's like, who sold the most singles? Yeah. Oh, well, this person.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean they're good. Well, who sold the most albums? Who has the most money?
So like whenever I hear someone be like that, I mean, whenever you say something's the best and you say open your mind, obviously that's an ironic, you know, statement on their part, a complete contradiction.
But I feel like that's kind of how it's gotten to be. It's just like people say open your mind, but then they don't want to open their mind to something that shakes their core values.
Right. Well,
I just feel like saying, because I feel like you'll be able to talk about this more since this is more or less what you say you represent. Just instead of just saying, you know, open your mind or something like that, and like trying to like to argue with someone on like what their views on certain topics, not just music, but like world, instead of saying, I understand it, it's gotten to the point where it's like people get angry at other people's perspective rather than be, you know, man, I understand completely where you come from. I don't believe that, but you know what? I can see where you come from.
Exactly. That's the thing about being open-minded is you being open-minded doesn't mean that you're just acquiescent to other people's beliefs or anything. It means that you have your own beliefs, you know, but you don't have to be open-minded. You don't have to agree. You can disagree and still be open-minded. Like you can disagree emphatically and still be considered open-minded, you know, but so
I just feel like the term open your mind has become synonymous with aggression and ignorance, because it's gotten to the point where both sides of any coin will say open your mind, and you're just like, well, I'm trying to say to you right now to open your mind and you're not doing that. So I just feel like it's just become kind of null and void.
Yeah.
Of a question.
I just lost my train of thought. I felt like I had something like profound to say, but
I mean, we like honestly, this is the deepest and the realest we've been on the podcast. Like, period. Usually it's all jokes and all games, but like we're really talking about some real shit here.
And that's honest. Like that's awesome that you say that, because like that's how I want my music to be taken. Like I want. You know, I want you to sit here and say, you know, we had a good time, and you know, we joked and laughed.
Yeah, well,
but like, at the same time, we discussed some deep issues.
We like this is a real conversation coming from. I mean, you're a rapper, like, and you do the underground stuff. You don't do like the hook stuff. So you're really just about the bars and the message.
Right.
And I'm a pop artist. I'm all about the hook. I'm all about what I can convey in 30 seconds of a chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And like. I feel like we're coming from two different worlds that coexist. And by coexist, I mean, we've done Reckless Love together.
Great
so,
song.
Like, we really, like, you and I have really came from different worlds, but really kind of like right. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Right, we understand where it comes from. And I think, back to your open-minded comment, I think where a lot of the animosity and vitriol comes from...
That's the word I was looking for, animosity.
Is you'll have two different parties, and one party is saying, no, you can't do this or you shouldn't do this. But the same people that are telling them not to do this, like, it doesn't affect them. Like, whatever this party does, it has no bearing on the way the other side's living. So, like, the side that is telling you not to do something, to me, I don't feel like they have a leg to stand on. Like, you can't sit here and argue a point that, you know, doesn't affect you. Like, it's none of your business. Like, who are you to tell me or anyone else what they can or cannot do if it does not actively affect you? And that's where I have a problem with, like, you know,
certain political issues,
societal issues, just issues in general. It's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and call anarchy, but, you know, I'm a very laissez-faire person. You know, I'm very free-spirited, and, you know, I don't like being told what to do, because, you know, my heart of hearts, you know, I do know what's best for me. You know, it's up to me to be honest with myself to identify what is best for me. But, you know, at the end of the day, you don't know what's best for me. You know, this person doesn't know what's best for me. You know, even I can't say that my parents know what's best for me, because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't share the same values. We don't share the same goals. We don't have the same ideas. So, you know, live and let live.
But parents are a good example. They might not know what's best for you, but they have to act as, you know, the governing body, because they're responsible for you. Like, regardless of, you know, if you're a stranger or something like that, it's just kind of like up until you're 18 to where you're legally an adult. I mean, they do have to take care of you, and even after that, they want to. It's kind of like, yeah, do your thing and all that, but it's, you're always going to have those.
Oh yeah, you're going to have those goals and those obstacles. And parents isn't the example that I'm trying to use to rebel against, because at the end of the day, especially my parents, like, I know they just want me to be happy, and I know that they want to see me succeed. You know, they may not understand everything, but you know, at the end of the day, like, I know their intentions are good. Some of these other people, like, especially when you get into political issues or any kind of issue that has any kind of weight to it or gravity to it,
or just like publicity right now.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, if it does not affect you, like, get over it. And that's the same way I feel about stereotypes too. Is, you know, you got to be smart enough to be able to look past stereotypes, you know, and take it on an individual basis. But it's incredibly ignorant and to not take stereotypes into account, which in whatever field, stereotypes in anything.
And just to like reiterate, we're just talking about stereotypes for life in general, not just race.
Right.
Because, I mean, for stereotypes to have came about, there had to have been a large amount.
Consistency. It's data. You use data for anything else, and you know,
like, that's how music genres are made. Because the stereotype of, like, let's say a pop song, you have that four on the floor, you have the big chorus, you have, like, there's formulas for everything, and that's how a stereotype becomes, because there's that consistency and all that. You can get mad that, oh, that's a stereotype, but you should really get mad at where it came from.
Yeah, exactly. Be proud that the stereotype, like, if a stereotype doesn't apply to you and it's used in your presence as an epithet, like, you know, be proud in the fact that it doesn't involve you, and conduct yourself in a way that, you know, that doesn't perpetuate the stigma that you're so offended by. Because anyone worth their salt isn't going to box you in like that.
And anyone worth their salt really isn't going to be like, oh man, you're a stereotype, and they're not going to get offended by it, because they're just like, well, why would I get offended? Like, oh, you're a pop artist, so, you know, you don't write your own music, you can't do your own thing.
Better one.
I'll probably edit that out.
Yeah.
But saying, oh, well, you're a pop artist, you can't write your own music, you have everyone else do it, it's just bubblegum, there's no substance. It's like, well, that's wrong, because I do write my own music. I do have substance, and I have my own legs to stand on.
Exactly. Like, anyone that's not going to take the time to objectively evaluate.
Because the people anything. That say that are the people that are taking it for face value. Right. They're looking at the cover of the book and not even going to the first page.
Right. And the majority of people that consume music, like, there's the diehards that will sit here and spend hours and hours, you know, searching for new music and supporting their artists. But the majority of people, you know, music is convenient. You know, you're not gonna spend the extra effort. You're gonna listen to what's available. And as humans, you know, we're psychologically predisposed to be attracted to what we see and what we're surrounded by. So yeah, of course, mainstream music is gonna be popular because the money's being pumped in, and it's convenient.
And it's mainstream for a reason. Like,
so, like,
if you're not happy with mainstream music, there is so much more music. Exactly. You can go listen to that instead of bitching about it, because if you want your artist to get to that mainstream level to where they pump the music and all that, tell a friend about it. Like, exactly. If you believe that this band deserves so much more, like, if you rip their album, go to a concert, buy the physical copy, buy a concert ticket, tell people about it.
And I think that's what most people do. The thing about music is, everybody likes music. One way or another, everyone likes music. And, you know, if we like what we see, you know, it's up to the artist to position yourself in a way that you can be seen and be visible. You know, because people are gonna support you, especially if you get out there. They're gonna see what you're doing, and if you're talented, they're gonna be twice as receptive to it, because not only are you on the ground floor grinding, but you also have a talent that they can be the first in line to be like, hey, I knew about this guy. So then you show up here, you pass out, you make a couple connections, you make 5 connections. The next day you show up somewhere else, you make another 5. You don't have to own the entire room. You just have to go to as many rooms as possible. Because there are people willing to listen.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be people that support what they believe in. But, you know, you can't, there's too many artists, especially independent artists, that are so entitled now, that are just like, you know, no one buys music anymore, you know, you should buy music. Like, why? Like, I buy music that for someone that I support and I believe in as a whole. Like, I like Drake. It's Drake's music, I do. But I don't support Drake because I think Drake is a very ingenuine person. Like, I don't feel like he's the same person that I get on a track. Like, I feel like he's one concoction here, and then he's another one here.
We're gonna do our second music break, and then when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit more, and then we'll get you out of here.
Sounds good to me.
But now we're gonna do your music.
My music. Your music. Man.
We're gonna pick two songs of your own music. I feel like I can't really do my usual first opening question with you, because you can't really take a rap song and change it and have version after version after version. It's kind of like, I feel like, because usually when I ask that, it's like, how does the instrumentals change and how does the melody change and everything, like everything that goes into it. I feel like the lyrics can change in rap, but once you like a beat, you kind of like, you fuck with that beat.
Yeah, I mean, definitely like that. But I mean, I definitely, like, I do practice, like, I have a lot of my lyrics are very beat specific a lot of the time. Like, I'll listen to a song on loop for hours at a time. So if any of my friends are listening, like, they've been in the room with me together, and you know, it's not fun for them because I'm just sitting here restarting the part, you know, going line for line.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do practice to, like, you know, once I get a verse done or get some words that I like, I do practice on different beats so that, you know, I am prepared at any time. Cause you know, as soon as you tell anyone you're a rapper, the first thing someone's going to ask you, rap for me, rap, like, yeah, like spit, like do it. So, I mean, eventually, like, I caught on to that pretty quickly. But I didn't want to get caught up to where, you know, all the verses that I had were so beat specific that I couldn't use them in other areas. So I started practicing on different beats so that I could use verses, basically so I could recycle verses, because I'm not a freestyler.
Yeah.
I will admit that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I freestyle. If you put me on the spot and you give me a chance to, like, lie about it, I'll play along.
Yeah.
I won't tell you. Like, if you ask me if I freestyled it and I have the opportunity to, like, avoid answering the question, I will avoid answering the question so that you think that I'm just the dopest person alive. Yeah. But no, so, I wrote it if I rapped it for you.
So here, what's a song of yours that you don't think people really understand that well?
Song they don't understand.
Like, some that you're just like, man, they're kind of missing the mark of what I'm trying, the message I'm trying to...
Well, wow, that's a hard one. I honestly think that, I think I've gotten really good reception as far as like what I'm trying to say, but like in rap in general, people don't really listen to what you say a lot of the time. So, you know, I feel like a lot of what I say gets lost just in translation, you know, where people are just nodding off to the beat. But I think one of my favorite ones that people, I don't think people really get the depth of it, is I did a cover of, I called it The Cookie Jar, and I used a Schoolboy Q beat. I used the Man of the Year beat, and I think that was pretty heavy as far as everything that I included in it. And I don't think that off the top that people really, really acknowledge that.
Word. So we're gonna do your song Cookie Jar, and then I want you to give me a song that you think sums up you as an artist.
Okay.
That you're just like, that, like, if they listen to it, they kind of like, this is me.
Oh man, this is the first mixtape song that I did, and I was like, this is it, like, this is the jam. And it was to a G-Eazy beat.
Always.
I'm gonna give you the G-Eazy one, because I don't wanna use the other one. So yeah, the G-Eazy, The Far Alone. And that's just like, me flexing, like just rapping my dick off, and you know, just like, you know, I'm saying some things that are, you know, thoughtful, but at the same time, like there's some swagger behind it. You know, it's not me just sitting here being vulnerable. Like, I mean, I'm definitely feeling myself on the track, and it's definitely a rap. If you are a fan of rap,
yeah,
you're gonna like that song. And if you don't like this song, you're not gonna like me. Like, period.
That's exactly why I asked that question, because I asked for the one that sums it up, because I want it to be like, well, if you don't like this song, then you're probably not gonna like my music. It's not like a way to like weed it out. It's just so we really get to hear you as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're gonna do. This is Cookie Jar and Far Alone by Rhyme Taylor.
I accept my award now. I put the sword out the stone and I put it in my arm. Why I look like a dork, but I bet I made my mom proud. And that's all that matters, looking back at it now. I wasn't such a badass. It was more like a bad facade, a mechanism for not facing problems. But I've never been an advocate of being responsible. So drink it up and blow marijuana. Spend your money like there's no tomorrow. Next semester I graduate college, and after that is one big quandary. Yep, it's a daunting task. The real world's chased without the hockey mask. A bunch of Hollywood effects to confuse the masses and use it to their advantage. You could be a pawn and acquiesce. No questions, just stand up and raise your fist. Raise your glass, get off your ass. But you gotta do more than stuff the ballots. Newsflash, they'll stab you in the back like Julius in front of your women, influence your kids. And you know who they blame it on? The fucking Masons. Get your hands out the cookie jar. 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 What we gonna do now? Break the mold and make our own style? Or we gonna keep taking loans out? Possibly produce more clones, I have no doubt. It's a downward spiral. Someone's gotta pay the Pied Piper. Lost in the fire and the fire rises. Who's right and who's entitled? It's a losing battle. Is it all because of that fucking apple and a lack of self-control? I don't really know. Neither does the Pope. Only you can solve what plagues your soul. Ignore the forces that you can't control, cause you look forever for that pot of gold. Anything you want can be yours. Be careful what you wish for and don't kill the messenger.
Yeah.
Raps Kurt Vonnegut, despondent to the cotton candy palm pilot plagiarist. Laser vision led by a cherub shift of paradigm. Right. I need to clear that up like Claritin. Mirror, mirror, who's the illest of the fairer skin? Rhyme Taylor, no need to ask again. Know the section happily. Charm life, actually. Founder and executive, alert the press and the Kardashians. Calling people out because I can't. Another casualty, the Vatican's math. How you feel about blasphemy? Equal parts Illuminati and alchemy. My shaft can part the Red Sea. I burn bush like Moises. Oy vey, did he really? If I'm pitching nerd, so be it. The oversensitivity needs to cease and desist. If we can't reach an agreement, you can get on your knees and suck all of my dicks.
Yeah. They used to tell me I couldn't go to home alone. Oh. Oh. They used to always say I couldn't go to home alone. Oh. But now I'm here, bitch.
On my five leaf clover, charm life's taking over. Bring your snakes, bring all of your horses. Whoa, Lordy, you're gonna need more than the average army. The biggest thing since Liverpool got a soccer team. Final answer, lock it in. You've been warned, advised to quarantine. War is on the brink, there's a riot in the streets, and no one is safe. So go ahead and cross the tape. Take that leap of faith, that's the best decision you can make. I leave my heart out on the table, even in front of Hannibal. Not a habit, then be detrimental. All the branch in one hand, in my right hand on a pistol. Yo, I aim to please the same as I aim to kill. Every beat I deem in need of my skills. The future's at a standstill, this is a segue. Step your game up, not on the azaleas. Screw a eulogy, rest in peace, and let them hate if they're afraid.
And we're back.
<Goodness. laughs>
That we just listened to a couple tracks off of Ryan's Rhyme. I'm sorry.
Rhyme Taylor's son.
Yeah. I guess now that since we're in the ass end of it, I can really say that, I mean, you are my brother. And by, not by brother, by music and by spirit, but also by, you are my blood brother.
By blood.
But what can we expect from you in 2015?
You can expect me to be everywhere. My social media game is going to be so strong and so prominent that you are going to either love me or hate me, because you're not going to be able to get away from me. Breezeezy and we're on a mission right now. We're working every day. We're putting together new ideas. We're formulating a PR plan. We're formulating a business plan right now. We got some Charm Life merchandise that is being printed off as we speak right now. And right now what we're going to be doing is, this summer, I'm taking this summer to travel to as many of the music festivals as I can. I'm going to work them. I'm going to work all the music festivals so that I can get that inside track. I can see the way they work. And it's also going to be a chance for me to network and promote and to really just build a grassroots fan base, because it's going to be an attentive audience that is going to be there. And, you know, if your talent's there, then the audience is gonna
kind of a sink or swim moment for the end too.
It really is a sink or swim moment. So I mean, either I'm gonna be accepted or rejected. So I mean, this is definitely gonna be a reality check for me. But you can definitely count on, once a month, we're gonna be releasing these mixes that are, you know, something that's never been done before. Like, I mean, the most comparable, I guess, sound would be like a Zed's Dead and Omar Lynx.
Zed's Dead, yeah. Fucking with them really hard lately.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Zed's Dead's new album, it's got Sean Price on it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And if you're not familiar with Sean Price, and even most rap fans aren't familiar with Sean Price, he's an underground legend. And the song that they got with Zed's Dead, it's called Dead Price. Oh man, that's the future right there. Like, it's the future.
That new Jack Yu, though.
Jack Yu's dope too.
I don't even give a fuck. You have Diplo and Skrillex, I'm sold. But then they also have a track with the Beeb, and
I love Beeb, so.
Yeah, no, like, so fucking good. Yeah, man. I wish you all the best. Before we go out, what are your social media?
My social media, you can catch me on Twitter and on Instagram at Rhyme Taylor, or you can check me out on Facebook too. You can search me as Rhyme Taylor on Facebook too. So keep it consistent.
Word. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Keep it charmed.
Yeah. Thank you.